Good morning. This morning, Isaiah is going to remind us that we need all eyes and ears on Jesus. We'll take a little peek into what happened in the Old Testament when God's people closed their eyes and they plugged their ears as if they had never heard of the Lord before. And then we'll also see how God relentlessly pursued them until he had them back. And it took some hard love on God's part, but he wasn't afraid to share it with his people because he loved them too much. So may God bless you as you see how much you mean to him, that he was faithful to his promise to love you and to send your Savior for you. The order of worship that will follow, once again, is printed in the worship booklet, and we open with our Lenten gathering song on page 3. Let us worship the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Thank you.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, look with favor on your humble servants and stretch out the right hand of your power to defend us against all our enemies. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first lesson for this morning is recorded in Isaiah chapter 42. This lesson will be the basis for the sermon this morning. For a long time I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. But those who trust in idols, who say to images, "You are our gods," will be turned back in utter shame. Hear, you deaf. Look, you blind, and see. Who is blind but my servant? And deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one committed to me, blind like the servant of the Lord? You have seen many things, but have paid no attention. Your ears are open, but you hear nothing. It pleased the Lord, for the sake of his righteousness, to make his law great and glorious. This is the word of the Lord. Our psalm of the day for this morning is Psalm 143. It's on page 6 in the worship booklet, and we sing it according to the directions on page 6.
Lord, let your mercy be on us.
Lord, let your mercy be on us. The second lesson is recorded in Ephesians chapter 5. And Isaiah is going to get us to this point this morning. This is who we are. We are light in the Lord. And we get the pleasure to live as light in the Lord. And God gives us strength to live in what he has made us. We are light in the Lord. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this morning is select verses of John chapter 9. In this lesson, we see that the situation Jesus faced was the same as the situation Isaiah faced, which is the same that God's people will always face. These people saw Jesus. They saw a manifestation of his glory as God, but they still refused to listen. They still refused to hear. Yet the grace of God overcomes, and Jesus himself brings a man to see him as Savior, and that man rejoices in his Savior. You and I rejoice in our Savior too. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told them, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." To this they said, "You are steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so, that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." This is the gospel of the Lord. By God's grace, we have seen the light of the gospel, and we confess that faith together with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we join together to sing the hymn of the day, hymn 343. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. May God bless us this morning as we look to the light of the world. Amen.
You've heard people talk about life-changing experiences. Maybe you have even had a life-changing experience.
Isn't it true that Publishers Clearing House and Powerball and the California Lotto all say that it could change your life forever to win the lottery? And there's other people who say there's more conventional ways to change your life forever. One of the guys on the radio likes to talk about you can change your family tree forever by getting yourself out of debt, changing some spending habits, maybe going back to school, maybe getting a different job, working harder, whatever it takes, but you can change your family tree forever. Sometimes that happens when a young couple, they start to have a family. They have 2-3 children and they realize, wow, we haven't taught our kids anything about Jesus. We don't take our kids to church. We better do something about that. And by God's grace, they take them to Sunday school. Maybe they get back into church and things have changed for the better in their lives. There's probably individuals throughout the entire world this morning. And they're nervous and they're anxious. They're in the pew. Maybe they're biting their nails because they know communion's coming up. And they are promising God over and over and over and over and over again, I'm not going to do it again this time. And then goes and receives forgiveness, and then he goes back home. Or maybe there's a whole room full of Christians this morning who are promising God that same thing, that we are going to leave some sin and some sinfulness up here, and then we are going to go back to our pews, and we are going to be forgiven, we are going to be restored, we are going to be new, strengthened people. You know, I promise I'm not going to turn church into a downer this morning. But what happens when we look for life-changing, life-altering events in here or only in the world? You know, I heard a story and I saw this firsthand about a family that won the lotto. I think they went in with a bunch of coworkers and they won a big sum of money and they were going to leave their former way of life behind. And so that meant they lived on a piece of property, and on one side of the property was a house and a bunch of relics of their life. You might call it junk. And so they were going to build a new house on the other side of the property, a bigger, nicer house, and leave all that behind. But guess what happened? They took that money, they bought a bigger, nicer house, and they bought new junk. And now they live on the other side of the property, and nothing has changed for them at all. Or how many times do you see it that maybe some one generation, they do a better job at managing what God has entrusted to them, and God does bless them. And along comes Junior, and he squanders it, and he wastes it, and nothing was altered for him at all. Or maybe this young couple, they do go to church, and then their son turns 25, and he stops going. Or maybe there is the gentleman and he comes back from communion and he goes home and he does the exact same thing again. Or maybe you're going to go back home and you're going to go do the exact same things again. And you would think, wouldn't you, that God would finally do something to fix this for us? You would think that God would finally tell the guy who changes God's word to say, there, finally, you guys have figured it out. But instead, God is pleased to share with you and with me and the world his proven, classic solution for all of our challenges that really change our lives for generations to come and change them for eternity. It pleased the Lord for the sake of his righteousness, Isaiah said, to make his law great and glorious. God was pleased to use his law, everything that he teaches about himself. He is pleased to use his word to solve our problems, to give us a solution that changes things for you and for me forever. And here's how God does that, by sharing his word. He promises that he is going to shame people who reject him, and we'll find out why that is even a positive. He is going to call out to people who need him. He's going to pursue people who wander from him. And then by his grace, he is going to bless those who trust in him. Isaiah wrote, "For a long time now I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now Like a woman in childbirth, I cry out. I gasp and pant. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. But those who trust in idols, who say to images, you are our gods, will be turned back in utter shame. You know, something is going to happen. It's been a long wait. You know, just ask any woman who is expecting. That can be a long time, but when it's time, she's going to let people know. And everybody is going to know it's time for this baby to be born. Same thing with God and his judgment. Sometimes it seems like he lets things go on forever. But when the time is right, God is going to act. And when it's time for him to act, nobody's going to hide. None of these things that people have left God for are going to help them at all. You think of maybe the solace and safety that you can find up in the hills or in the mountains, right? You're safe. Nothing can find you there. You have everything you need there. The stream comes down and waters your garden, and you can eat the garden, and you can eat the fish, and you don't need the Lord at all, do you? Well, what happens when God, in his judgment, he comes and he lays waste the mountains, and he tears down the hills, and he dries up your river, and he takes your garden away, and he takes your fish away? Then what are you going to have? You thought you had a solution, didn't you? We're going to go off the grid. Have you ever thought of going off the grid? You know, there's something romantic about that, and it intrigues me. You know, to just go and leave it all behind, and you become self-sufficient, and you support yourself. It's not going to work. You can go after any solution you want. You can go make yourself any god you want. Turn anything into your god. Go find safety and security anywhere in the world. And when it's time for judgment, it is not going to help you. You will be put to shame. But those who trust in idols, who say to images, you are our gods, will be turned back in utter shame. You know, God is very clear about his judgment, isn't he? Over and over and over again. He says it in so many different ways. He said it through the writer to the Hebrews, people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. He told them the same thing through the prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament. He who sins is the one who will die. So whether you are holding on to the mountains, or you are hoping the hills are going to be there for you, or it's the rivers, or it's the garden you've planted because you've got life all figured out and you have built this, you have changed your family tree forever. When it comes time for judgment, if you are not holding on to the Lord, if you have covered up your eyes and you've squinted them so tightly that you don't see him anymore, and you have plugged your ears so tightly that you don't even listen to him anymore, and you're happy with your brand new God, you will be put to shame. Everybody who does not have the light of Jesus is going to be put to shame. And that is a glorious judgment on God's part. Hasn't he been very upfront ever since the beginning with Adam and Eve? They held on to something they thought was better, and along came God's judgment. And that happened through Moses and those people, didn't it too? God came and delivered them, but they wanted something else. All these gods of the land of Canaan are so much better than the Lord. And they brought shame on themselves. And in Isaiah's day too, wow, look what King David did for us. We're a big, strong nation. We're a filthy, rich nation. Look at Solomon. And when the time was right, God judged them too. He hammered them with the Babylonian captivity. Why? Because he was not okay with losing them forever. They made decisions that changed their lives forever. And God wanted them. So in his mercy and in his grace, God pursued them. For a long time now, I have kept silent. I've been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out. I gasp and pant. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. God woke them up in a big way when he carried them all off to Babylon. And by God's grace, does he wake you up like that too? Does he ever just drop the hammer and remind you what you are doing is shameful? Where you are looking for strength and guidance, it's horrible.
It's idolatry. The things that you do for fun, the things that you do for pleasure, the things that you do for gratification, where you look to for strength, utterly contemptible before the Lord. And he is not afraid to let you know because he loves you. And he calls out to you. And then he says, I am going to show you something that you could never know. I am going to go after you, and I'm going to put you on a path, and you can never make this path up. Could you? Would you ever come up with this idea? A whole world of people who would rather have so many other gods than you, who share their faithfulness, their loyalty with everyone and anything, and do things you tell them not to do. And you decide, I'm going to sacrifice my son for them. I'm going to have him come and live in this world and be mistreated and live a perfect life, and I'm going to give all these people the credit for doing that. Would you ever, ever do that? Could you ever come up with that on your own? But God chooses to call you to that light. God chooses to share that light with you and with me, and he puts us on a path we can never come up with on our own. And it is glorious. And even after he puts us on the path, he's still going to pursue us. You have seen many things, but you pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you do not listen. It pleased the Lord for the sake of his righteousness to make his law great and glorious. Wandering off the grid, thinking you can plug in somewhere else and find something that God can offer you, God's not going to let you do that. He is going to pursue you every day. He pursues you and shares ways that you have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, he guides you. He turns your darkness into light and makes the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. And Paul shared that same promise with us in the second lesson for this morning, didn't he? He reminds you, this is what you are. This is what God has made you. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And that is glorious because it works, doesn't it? Isn't that the only thing that's ever going to break this cycle of people wandering from the Lord, people making idols for themselves, people plugging up their ears, squinting their eyes? Only God in his love and mercy can change it. And he says, for my righteousness' sake, I am going to make my law glorious. And when you and I share God's word with each other, for his righteousness, he shares Christ's righteousness with us. It breaks the cycle. It puts us back on the path, and it takes us home to be with God forever. He is not going to weary of pursuing you and me. And by his grace, he promises to bless us through all eternity. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make their rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. And he shows us things, too, that we otherwise would never know. How am I ever going to get through this? Who is ever going to tear down this rough, rocky road for me? How am I ever going to break this cycle where I come up here and tell God I'm not going to do this and then I go and do it again? Christ's righteousness, the light that comes from him, the power that comes from his word is going to tear down all those mountains and all those hills. And it is going to put you and me on a path that we could never walk on our own. And it is going to be glorious. Because God promises so to bless us. Who is blind but my servant, and deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one in the covenant with me, blind like the servant of the Lord? Who is blind but my servant, deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one in the covenant with me? Not you, not me. Not us anymore. Because God's solution to age-old problems and challenges works. We are light in the Lord. It pleased the Lord for the sake of his righteousness to make his law great and glorious. It's a classic, timeless, proven solution. May you find strength and comfort in the fact that God is going to call you. He is going to pursue you, and by God's grace, he is going to bless you now and forever in heaven too. To God alone be the glorious for making his name glorious among us and through us. Amen. Please stand. And we ask God to bless the word that we have heard this morning by singing together the song Create in Me on the bottom of page 9. In thankful response to everything that God has given to us and shown us, we worship Him with our offerings. Please be seated. In our prayer of the church this morning, we will remember Pastor Mark Gabb and his family and his congregation in Florida. The last weekend at our voters meeting, we extended a divine call to Pastor to come and serve us with the good news and to build up the kingdom here. We'll ask God to be with him. And we'll also ask that God would be with the family and friends of our sister in the faith, Carol Metzler. God, in his mercy, called her home to be with him. She is now rejoicing right next to her Savior, our Savior Jesus. We'll ask God to continue to be with her friends and family. Dear God, Heavenly Father, how great is your love for us. You willingly sent your beloved Son to a world of sinful rebels. The innocent one came to serve the guilty, but his own people rejected him, and his enemies tortured him and put him to death. Because you did not withhold your one and only Son, but let him take our guilt on himself to set us free, we praise your holy name. Dear Son of God, our brother, how great is your love for us. You allowed yourself to be condemned so that we could be declared not guilty. Fill our hearts with the same sacrificing love that you showed us. You allowed no suffering, no fear, and no doubt to swerve you from your path to Calvary. Give us the same single-minded dedication and unshakable commitment as we daily take up our cross and follow you. Dear Holy Spirit, how great is your love for us. By word and sacrament, you have warmed and transformed our foolish and stubborn hearts, making us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus and receptive to his gospel of forgiveness. Hold his cross before our eyes, that we may dedicate our lives to him who died for us. Make us strong in the hour of temptation. Lead us to love and to serve our neighbor as unselfishly as Christ served us. And dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would continue to send your love, continue to send your Son Jesus into the hearts and the family of friends of Carol Metzler. We thank you that because Jesus died for her, she now lives with you. May they all find great hope and satisfaction in the promise of knowing that one day you will bring family and friends together who die in the Lord. So please, we ask that you would comfort especially Dennis and their family as they mourn. Give them strength to worship you, strength to witness the good news that Carol now rests with you. And help all of us to anticipate that great day when you will come back to take us to be with you forever. Until then, please keep us strong in the faith. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to call a pastor to come and serve us with the good news of Jesus. We ask that you would be with Pastor and his family, be with his congregation in Florida. Help them to see the noble calling into which you have called Pastor Gab, the noble calling we all have to share the good news of Jesus and to grow his church. If it is your will, we ask that you would lead Pastor to accept our call to come and to serve us. And if you ask us to have more patience, then help us to endure that too and accept that as your will and to see that as a glorious manifestation of your power and of your promise. So please be with Pastor and be with us as we wait for a second shepherd. Dear Lord Jesus, please keep us in the true faith until we find unity with all faithful Christians up in heaven and grant us a blessed end. We ask that you hear us for Jesus' sake as we also join together to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Please give your attention to page 11 in the worship booklet, where we begin to make our preparation to receive the sacrament this morning. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right, so to you.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who brought the gift of salvation to all people by his death on the tree of the cross, so that the devil, who overcame us by a tree, would in turn by a tree be overcome. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins.
Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
We ask God to send us on our way with his blessing. Now that our eyes have seen the light, we have seen our Savior Jesus. We join in the song of Simeon on the top of page 14. Please stand. We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated for the closing hymn, stanzas 1, 4, and 5 of hymn 560.
Amen.
Good morning. Again, thank you for worshiping today. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed praying with you and singing with you and being reminded of who our Savior God is and his relentless pursuit of you, his relentless pursuit of me. And may that give you peace and strength to live for your God this week. I have one announcement to highlight, and then I will read to you a letter that Pastor Mark Gabb sent to us. I will do this second service, but we probably should have prayed for our Praise and Proclaim outreach campaign that will begin next weekend. So we're going to do training on one night, and then the next day we're going to go out into the community to make them aware of our congregation, to invite them to some Easter activities. So perhaps after worship, maybe on your way home, you could say a quick prayer that God blesses those efforts and that he would send the Holy Spirit into our hearts and then take it out into the community through us. For those, maybe you won't get a chance to grab one of these or you don't get it emailed to you, but here's the letter from Pastor Gabb. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is with gratitude and humility that I acknowledge to you that I have received the divine call you have extended to me as pastoral team leader. For all of us, it is a high privilege to say, I am a child of God, and to know the blessings we all receive as a result of that. For me, it is also a high privilege to be called into the pastoral ministry and now consider the calls I'm holding both to St. Paul's here in Beverly Hills, Florida, and to St. Mark's in Citrus Heights, California. I look forward to discussing the particulars of the call with your leaders. As I deliberate, I thank you in advance for your prayers. You will be in mine. I also ask for your patience. Not only is this a busy time of the year with Lent, but as a member of the Executive Committee of the Board for Home Missions, we are in the middle of looking at scores of requests to start new missions and continue to support current missions in preparation for meetings at the end of the month. So it may take me a little longer than normal to go through the deliberation process, but I promise you I will give this call careful and prayerful consideration. Thank you to those who have already reached out to me. I appreciate your words of encouragement. And now may the peace of Christ, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In his name, Pastor Mark Gabb. So there's a little bit on his situation, and so lift him up and our ministry and his in Florida to God's care, and we will be publishing his contact info next Sunday. Is that true? Yes. So, and I didn't receive any announcements for the first time in a long time. So dig into your weekly announcement. Make sure you keep up with what's going on at St. Mark's. Visit with one another, please, before you're ushered out, and then I'll see you in the lobby.